Blog Talk Radio.
It's a brand new morning. What's my reason? Again for living. With the brand new mercy I'm giving.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
Hello and happy Sunday, everyone. I hope everyone's having a good day so far. I hit a little ambient sound, but that's okay. We're going to keep moving forward. I would like to say welcome to Women in Motion, a live talk show. I'm your host, Peggy Avila, and we will feature a special guest on the last Sunday of every month. If you know of a woman we need to talk to, email her information to us. Our mission is to recognize and celebrate the diverse accomplishments, historic accomplishments of women in our local communities and around the world. And I just like to add this note to that, not excluding men. Send the men's information to us as well. We would love to hear that as well. So Women in Motion is featured on the eWater Radio. That's KEWR-DB. Listeners, call in now, 323-642-1757. Once again, that's 323-642-1757. You can also listen on www.blogtalkradio.com/eWaterRadio. And for more information, you can email me at womeninmotion07@gmail.com. Well, today is going to be a great show. I have a very special guest. Actually, I have two special guests. So first, I'm going to just say a little bit because we're going to talk today about something that's just very conversational. California Dream is the psychological motivation to gain wealth or fame in the new land. California is seen as a lucky place, land of opportunity and good fortune, not reflecting in differences in self-reported overall life satisfaction. My guest is today no other than Ed Waterford. He's very humble. Ed Waterford, he is the owner of the 24-hour internet radio station. Ed has done many of things. Ed has been in the music business for over 30 years and marketing for over 20 years. Ed has worked with record labels, billboards, singles, you name it, and he has done it. Ed, are you there?
Yes. How are you?
Wonderful. Okay. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today, Ed?
I'm doing wonderful. I can't complain.
You can't complain. No complaints, right? Everything's good?
Oh, everything is beautiful.
I love it. I love it. Well, you and I are always having our little conversations, and I said this would be a great discussion, and I thank you for taking the time to come onto my show. I know you're very humble, but you've worked in the record industry. You've worked with in promotional industry, in the fashion industry. You've helped artists make it to where they need to go. So I think this is a great topic. With hip-hop singers and platinum records, I mean, you've done it all. So can you please tell my listeners anything else that I left out you may want to add on?
Sponsorships, working television.
What is that, Ed?
A little bit. I did a lot with brands, branding them, and obtaining sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that I add to my portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for the most part, I have just seen myself as a vehicle to help individuals. That's mainly what I've always seen my life as is helping individuals that have dreams make those dreams into actual reality. And that's
all right.
Just about it in a nutshell.
Okay. Well, Ed, you help him make that dream become a reality. And I wanted to ask you, Ed, California is the place of dreams, right? So how do you obtain the California dream? And why does everyone have that? We're speaking of Southern California. That's where it's one of the largest entertainment capitals of the world. And I just like to say there's a little ambient sound, and I don't think it's coming from anyone that's listening. I just think it's a technical issue, but please forgive me for that. We're going to push through that. And if I have anybody that's just coming on, you're listening to Women in Motion on the E-Water Radio, a live talk show. My special guest is no other than Ed Waterfer himself. And we're talking about, it's a hot topic, welcome to L.A. People coming to the land of dreams and high expectations, Southern California. The young come to fulfill their dreams. What do you need to fulfill the Hollywood dream? I'm going to put it like this. I'm going to put it out there because on this show, we keep it live and we keep it real. Predators, pimps, the cost of living, photo shoots. What's real about California? Ed, can you comment on some of that?
Yeah, basically, are you getting any type of echo from me?
I am. I'm getting an echo.
So it might be me.
It may be you.
Let me
try
something.
So listen, hold on. You know, life is life, but we're gonna make it happen.
Is that better?
So while he's taking, that's way better. Way better.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was some new headphones, and I wanted to try them out, and obviously those aren't going to work. So.
All right. Well, we found that out, right?
Okay. Well, I mean, it's like people come to Los Angeles with a lot of, the word I guess I want to use is misconceptions. Thinking they can just land and go sit at a bus station, which it used to be a Greyhound bus station, where all the pimps used to hang out.
Yeah.
Diners. And now, I mean, with the internet, it has made it has made artists a lot more accessible to the world. So it's really, the playing field, it's a lot different. You know, now if you're coming to California, first of all, and you're coming from a smaller market, I would say it would behoove you to basically, first of all, make sure, A, you've already set up your social network, meaning you're already getting traffic, you're doing little things on the internet to gain fans, because that is going to be the first thing that an agent asks you. What are your numbers? Which that's something that they never used to have to, they never used to ask that because we didn't have internet, you know. So now, that is something that is truly crucial. In other words, don't come to California if you got 2 followers on your Instagram and 5 followers on your Facebook. This is not the place for you. This is the place to come once you have honed your skills and you're ready to work in that field, whatever that field may be. Maybe you want to be a dancer. Maybe you want to be a model. Maybe you want to be a recording artist. Whatever it is that you want to be, you need to hone those skills before you land in the city of La La.
That's
so,
California, Southern California.
Said, Southern California, sorry, for those that may not understand what La La means. The other thing is photos. You will need to get your photos done. I would recommend you get your photos done by a great photographer in whatever city that you're from. Use that photographer. Have several different looks, not just one look, but different type of looks that show the diversity and the different types of roles that you can actually portray if you're an actress or whatever. The other thing, that's, we said photos, okay? So besides your photos, if you have an opportunity to take those acting dance classes, whatever classes you need to take you to the top of your field, you need to do that in that small market. If there's an opportunity to do small, maybe non-paid roles in that market that you live in, I would by all means say you need to do those little small roles. You need to build your resume. Because when you come here, you are coming to a place where you're competing with the world's best talent. And that's
so what about
where I'm going to stop for now. Oh,
Ed, hold it right there. I just want to say this too. Anyone who's listening, I have a special guest that's going to be joining us in about 20 minutes, so please don't go nowhere. He's in the industry, and I know you would love to hear what he would have to say. But, Ed, yes, what about a job?
Okay. That was another thing. Okay. I would recommend that if you're coming to Los Angeles and you're looking to make a living in whatever field you are trying or attempting. We won't use the word trying. Whatever you're attempting to achieve, let's use, that's our special keyword tonight, achieve.
Okay.
I would by all means recommend that before you come here, find a job. Don't come here homeless. Don't come here jobless. And the reason that I say that is L.A. will eat you alive. And if I've hurt somebody's feelings and I've crushed someone's dreams, I hopefully have saved your life.
I love it.
We have a lot of actresses and a lot of singers that are now prostitutes and strippers.
And how did that happen?
That's Becky, who came out here from Iowa. She did not have a job, but someone told her she was pretty and that all she needed to do was make it to California. So she borrowed money from her aunt, her uncle, relatives, and no photos, got on a Greyhound bus, and arrived in Los Angeles with maybe $50, $100, thinking that she would get here and someone would discover her, and all of her worries would be over. In fact, once she arrived, all of her worries had just begun.
So sad.
She arrives. She meets a young man in Cadillac, Mercedes, Rolls Royce, whatever. You know, overly dressed, of course. And he says, "Don't tell me you're an actress." So he says, "You know, I can really help you out. I've helped a lot of people out." So he starts by basically dropping some celebrity names of people that he knows and he can introduce her to in his celebrity circle. And so she falls in, and the next thing you know, he's like, you know, in order to do the things that you need to do, we got to do photos, we need this, and in order to get all those things, it's going to cost money. So I've got these guys, these really nice businessmen that I want to introduce you to, and they're going to help us get to where we're going to get. So she falls in, and next thing you know, she has started prostituting herself, and she's getting further and further and further and further away from the dream. And she has fell in love with this pimp who promised her everything under the sun that she's going to be a star. And the next thing you know, to numb that pain, she knows she's not making it. She starts doing drugs.
I knew that was going to be next.
So now that dream
is
no longer a dream. It's just an old nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And that 18-year-old, 21-year-old young lady goes, and the years pass, and now we wake up, and she's in her 40s. She has a lot of traction on her, and you see the traction. I honestly did not want to turn this into a negative show, but I felt deep down inside I had to give you young ladies what's real.
Well, I'm glad that you said that, Ed.
Go ahead,
I really am, because I watched the show on an ID, and I'm going to make this quick because I want to get a – I have people that may want to ask a few questions. But
okay.
I watched those ID shows sometime, and I saw a girl. She was beautiful that came to California. She graduated from college from a nice family in a little town, and she came out here, and she was in the Century City Mall. And this guy come up to her and says, oh, you look like a model, you look like an actress. And they have these perpetrators, I call them predators, pimps, whatever you want to call them. Yes, I said it. And they would take them to these empty real estate houses. They, you know, they had keys to empty real estate houses. And they would go take them there, and they would kill them. But saying a lot, we're talking about California and the dreams. And why does everybody want California and they think the South is so bad? What's wrong with the South? What's the difference between the South, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, California? What's the big major difference?
Well, I just moved, actually, from California, so no, I'm not bitter. But I just actually moved from California to the South. And the one thing that I know, because I've done a lot of business in both coasts, Los Angeles, the East Coast, the West Coast, and the Midwest. And the one thing that I notice is that it's funny, we pitch glamour. We pitch glamour in California. We show we fancy a lot of wealth. And it's like a message that we send. You're an actress, you're rich, you become rich. You go to parties, you meet celebrities, and they put you on, and the next thing you know, you're moving into your mansion.
And your mind
is now, I mean, and the people would want to come to California because we had the studios, not recording studios, but we had the film studios. So way, way back in the day, everybody came here because you had to come to California if you wanted to get a movie made.
Well, what would make you
and
come
so,
from California to the South?
I moved from California to the South. The reason for my relocation was sometimes you've done it all, did everything, and you want, what is the word, peace and tranquility. And that was one of my reasons, was to find a place that was less expensive than California. And me, with resources that I have, I can do business. If I needed to do business, I could do business anywhere in the world with just a laptop and a cell phone. You know, once you've made relationships and contacts, you can do whatever you need to do wherever you are. Because now, if you look, Tyler Perry has shown you that you don't have to come to LA. He has a multiplex film studio that a lot of films are being made. And now you've got people that are making movies on their cell phone.
Right. Well, do you regret that you moved to the South, or do you like it?
So far, I mean, it's a new experience. I'm enjoying the experience. It's a journey. And I'm like, I've already experienced the first snow, which was beautiful. And now I'm waiting on the first tornado tonight, actually.
Oh,
they said
goodness.
We should get it before 10 o'clock. So hopefully the storm doesn't interrupt our conversation.
No,
but
not
yeah,
at all.
For the most part, so far I like it. You know, I'm more or less retired, you know, so it's a good place for me to just rest and enjoy the rest of my life.
Yeah, but I better go to the bathroom before we get on the road.
Right. So you know what I'm going to do, Ed? I'm going to ask someone if they have any questions to ask you, because I know we have a guest coming on too, because I have a lot of questions to ask you, because it seems like we're just getting started, because there's so much to talk about. Is there anyone that have a question at this time they would like to ask Ed? If you have a question you'd like to ask Ed, can you please do so now? Hello, can you do so now? Hello, anyone? You have a question?
Yes,
Anyone have a question?
My name is Nicole. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I am good. I hear you moved from California to the South and just wanted to touch bases and ask you, like, what do you see as far as moving from Cali to the South? What are some of the pros and cons that you've noticed since your move?
Okay, as far as the pros, I can actually say it's very cost-effective as far as the cost of living. You know, it is like worlds apart from California. That is one of the pros. And the other thing is, in the South, the one thing I've noticed is that what we have that California doesn't have, we actually have seasons. So we have a real winter, a real spring, real fall, real summer, not where everything is just kind of all blended together, you know.
Right.
And I would have to say on the flip side, you know, I'm new in town. I don't know everybody out here, so I don't know many people. So it's getting to know people, creating new friends. So it is a different experience. That's that aspect, and, you know, that would actually be really, and I would even consider it a negative. I mean, the other thing that I would say is that it is a tad, little bit, it's. I won't use the word slower, just the way business is done and the way things operate are a lot different than California. So it's just adjusting to the way business is done out here. That's it.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. We actually moved from California to Texas, and we noticed that it is, I'm going to be honest, it is slower, but like you said, the same pros and cons here, I noticed, but the thing about moving is we love it. We don't have any regrets moving from Cali to Texas. Like you said, the cost of living, we were able to actually live in the suburbs, when in California we would not be able to do that. So there's some pros there. And then not only that, we've come to realize, you know, there was so much negativity about people saying how Texans were, and then you're not sure about, okay, well, how are they going to accept us? But we found some really, really friendly people here. It's definitely different. You know, people speak here when you go to the store. I've noticed that's one of the pros that I've realized moving from Cali to Texas. Even when you drive down the street that you've never been on before.
Did you experience, when you first got in town, did you experience maybe walking down the street or something and people in cars waving at you?
Yes. Yes.
Friendly.
It's different. It's very different.
It is very different. And I've been reading, you know, watching YouTube, and they are saying that it's a lot of people moving from California to different states because the cost of living is so high there. But I just want to say, everybody, if you do come to Texas from Cali or any other state that you go to, please don't come with the Cali attitude.
That's it. Because this is like this. The one thing I will say. Say it again.
Did the weather scare you guys?
No, not at all. You get used to it. The one thing that I will say is that if you're coming somewhere for change, you have to be willing to also make a change.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, like right now I'm looking out my window and all I see is thunderstorms and trees are being bent over. But it's beautiful.
Beautiful, huh?
But thank you for calling in, Nicole.
Okay, you're welcome. No problem. Thank you for your feedback. Appreciate it.
So you guys,
right, you
like
have a great
it in
night.
The South, and California is just the land of dreams, right? Thank you, caller. Any other callers have a question you'd like to ask Ed?
Yes,
we're talking
about
living the California dream. We're talking about predators, pimps, the cost of living in California versus the cost of living someplace else. How do you make it? Why do you come to California? Why do you think this is the place you can make it? Why do you come here with no money? How do you come here and don't have a job? And Ed, I have a question for you, too. That was really good right there about coming from Texas, moving from California to Texas, moving to any place in the South from Texas, because a lot of people that live in the South that come to California, they think that California is the man, it's the place. But when you live here, you don't really see it like that. It's a high cost of living, and also you have to be careful because, like you said, pimps, and we don't mean like pimp and pimp. You get pimped from your job. You get pimped with your money. You work hard, and you really don't have nothing to show for it too much unless you're pretty much established. But I also like to ask you, Ed, now, you're in the industry. Do you see a successful future ahead for you by relocating, doing what you do? You did kind of comment on that with the internet and things like this and like that.
I'll be honest with you. I've done a lot, and that's not me bragging or anything like that, but I'm at a point where I'm ready to just really just stay retired. I mean, the only thing I want to continue doing the radio station, but for the most part, I just kind of want to just rest. I will always be available for anyone that needs my assistance. That will never change.
All right.
You know, but for the most part,
you said a lot here. When you were answering a question with the guest, you said the cost of living. You said living, you get in the South Fork, you get all the real seasons, which is true. You get the snow, you get the cold, you get the storm, because people are finding excuses. I'm not coming from California because they have
tornadoes
storms over there. Well, we have earthquakes over here, so what's the difference?
There is really, honestly, I've experienced in California every earthquake we've had since 72? including the ones in the Bay Area. I was actually in the Bay Area when we had those as well. So I've seen the horror of natural disasters, and I'm like, what's the difference? I mean, and the difference in price really can become a deciding factor.
It really can.
You know, so, yeah, so that's one of my, that was my reason, you know. One of my main reasons was cost.
The cost.
You know,
and I think
what I pay here, I won't go into
cost.
It, but what I pay here, I could never get in California.
You couldn't get it. And
not
what about
that
the
price.
Caller that just called? Can you get what you have in Texas for what you had in California?
No.
Maybe. No.
There it is.
There it is.
There
okay,
it is.
Wade, I just don't feel like I got everything out that I want to ask you, but I know we have a special guest, but I know it's a big decision, and I always think that when somebody moves from California to the South, they're not going to like it, and they're going to want to come back because it's a land of dreams, and you have to make a dream come true. And Ed, I have another question for you, too, and the caller that just asked the question, too. Do you believe that people will help you in the industry if you came out here anyway? Will somebody help you get a house, or are you going to be able to buy a house or succeed and get anything here in California just coming on a dream, on a vision?
No. I'm going to be honest. Let me change that. There are people that come to California and they just got this special something. This special, that's something that separates them from the masses. That's what everyone's looking for. So, yeah, if that person is walking through the door, their life could change.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to need to make sure that they have all the necessary tools to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But the day of, oh, I just got discovered, I don't see that. But you would have to basically be able to go into an audition and blow them away.
You would. And you said you work with a lot of people in the industry, which you have, and I've worked with a lot of celebrities myself, and you just work with them. But
yeah,
it's not really pushing you up to that next level. But you work with them. You got that
and
on
most
your
artists. Most artists got enough work just trying to keep their bills paid and stay in their beautiful house. They really don't, a lot of times, don't have the time to help and mentor other people. They're too busy trying to survive.
Yes.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. That's just a reality. And people
yeah,
need
to
understand, because that person
survival.
Is a celebrity, because that person is a celebrity doesn't mean that they are able to help you. And that's where
I'm
believing.
Well, even if they are able, will they help you? They are able to
probably,
help you, but will they help
some
you?
Will, but I would say a very small percentage, like maybe what, 10%, if that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like, you've heard the statement, well, what have you done for yourself?
That's right.
Why should I help you if you haven't done anything for yourself? You just want to reach out and you want me to grab you and save your life? Nah, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are so many things I want to ask you because you know a lot of things. You have a lot of wisdom at a young age, and you've done it all. And you've made a big step just moving, relocating yourself. And then the caller was saying at the same time, because I didn't think that coming from California that people really like it in the South and would stay there. But when I go visit in the South, it's just so different. I think it's a land of opportunities as well. It's not, it's what you do with yourself. And, you know, Ed, I believe we have a special guest that's waiting to say some words to us. Is that okay?
Let's bring him in. I think we need to bring
yes,
in that young man.
Yes, yes, yes. I'd just like to say something. He is phenomenal. He's an actor. He's a comedian. He's a script writer. If I get your name wrong, correct me, Mr. Comedian. Is Danon Green, known for his stand-up comedy.
No, Danon Green.
Danon Green. I'm all proper with it. Danon Green. Mr. Danon Green, are you here? Mr. Dannon Green. Are you here yes. live with us, Mr. Dannon
yes.
Green? Wonderful. How are you doing today?
Yes, I
with
am.
A lovely Sunday. Wonderful. Yay.
I'm doing very well, and thank you for having
yes,
me. And thank you for correcting.
Sir.
Thank you for correcting her. Thank you for correcting her and spelling the same of my name. Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, well. I had to correct her because I was corrected.
That's why I said what I said. Exactly. You at least
your
you
name
ended my
nice.
Name with an N. At least you ended my name with an N. He said Dano.
Dano,
I said,
exactly.
Right.
I first had Dano, and I said, is his name Dano? No,
it's
Danon, right?
Dannon, like the yogurt. Dannon, like the yogurt.
I got you, Dannon. Okay. Yeah. Well, Dannon, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing, about your filmmaking, about your life. How did you make it successful? And you also have you made a television debut on Apollo. Is that correct?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up on the East Coast. I did move out to California in '92 after college. To work, but also to get into the entertainment field. And over the years I've done, I started in stand-up. My first television appearance was the Apollo Comedy Hour, the show that came on back in, that was in 94. And then my first, my other national first appearance was on BET's Comic View. And I was on BET's Comic View like 5 or 6 times. They actually had asked me one time to do it, and I turned it down. Yeah. I stayed with stand-up until about 97, 98. I never tried to get a theatrical actor agent until about that time. I did my first movie in 98, 99, Supreme Sanction, and then I did one called Desert Thunder with Daniel Baldwin, Supreme Sanction with Michael Madsen. And then from there, I just started getting, in 98, 99, started writing, written 6 complete screenplays. And then 2 years ago, I got into, I produced my first film, feature film, which is a documentary called The Executioners, We All Had a Chance, which is a boxing documentary about a boxing team that I used to belong to out of Philadelphia. It's the first boxing documentary ever done about a boxing team. So I'm pretty much blazing. Yeah, if you can Google, you can YouTube, you've never seen a story about a team. This is the first ever done about a team. I do have distribution through Tubi right now, Amazon and Zumo. They have accepted it. We have not released it yet. They haven't given my release date in terms of Tubi, but we also have a cable network that is interested in it, so anything can happen. My deal with Tubi will not be exclusive, which is thankful for them, so they'll take it and decide, if I want to take it off, I can take it off, but that's the next big thing that's happening. That should be happening this week. We're getting our press release done as we speak. It should be released to us by tomorrow or Tuesday, and then we're finding out
Beautiful. This
week. Yeah, so.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, I've done a lot of things. I used to be an amateur fighter, so that's what got me to want
to
do the
story.
Used to
be a fighter?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I was a fighter for that gym and also out of Columbus, Ohio, where I won the Golden Gloves under Vonzell Johnson, who was a former light heavyweight contender. So I've done a lot. I've been in the game of entertainment in L.A. since 92, been doing my thing, a lot of stand-up acting, Real Husbands of Hollywood, had a nice, very good role on there before. The last season I shot an episode, which was very, very funny. My scene was with Nelly. And I also made the poker table with Kevin and Boris Kojo. So I've just been doing a lot. And, I was listening to you guys talk before. And, I'll let you ask me the questions. But I will say that, I'll just say that, you have to come out. I believe, I always tell people, if you don't come to L.A. with a game plan, and if you don't get a game plan while you're in L.A., you're pretty much just spinning your wheels, and you might as well either leave or find another, something else to do, because this is a very tough town to make it in. And now with things have changed in Hollywood and terms of social media and things like that, it's become even tougher depending on what you're doing. So, but yeah, I'd love to hear for you guys, you know, talk to you guys about or answer questions that you have for me. But that's a little bit about my background. I'm just very excited, but I'm very excited about my movie. It's a great
film. I am excited about your movie too. So how can we find your, I've checked you out already. Matter of fact, like I say, you're a very nice looking young man. And I've checked you out, so
watch
you
out.
Definitely have the personality. Watch out! I'll watch out now. I want to make sure that I follow you. I'm a fan already, Mr.
Do not hold on, brother. Do not stop her saying good things about me. Leave her alone.
Let me roll.
You tell me how fine I am, and I'm gonna keep smiling. Yep. No, but but what you saying, though?
I want to make sure that my listeners get your information so they can follow
right.
you and we can follow you. I can follow you. We can come out and hear you
exactly.
and
yeah,
you
I'll
know,
give you, I'll
keep
give you
up
that, I'll give
supporting
you, that
you.
Yeah, I'll give you
what
that.
You're doing.
Yeah. Yep. I'll give you that
now,
at the end. But go ahead.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
For that screenwriter right now,
yes.
that is sitting here saying that I've got that hot script that I know
mm-hmm.
everybody wants. Can you
mm-hmm.
explain what the journey has been like getting to the point of having the film accepted for distribution?
Okay. Well, one, if you have a hot script, I hate to tell you this, not to be rude, but it means nothing because you just got a script. You have to get that script made if you don't have anybody or any studio that's going to back it financially. So I'll just take everybody through the steps real quick and then let you understand. Obviously, you have to come up with an idea and you have to write the screenplay. And a lot of people say, well, how do you write screenplays? Did you ever take a class in it? And I never did. Now, I have been to college. I have my master's degree from the Ohio State University, so I've written a thesis, so I do know how to write. But I learned how to write screenplays by reading other screenplays. That's just how I learned. And then you have to obviously know how to tell the story within yourself. You have to know that. There is, you know, there's a Hollywood way. They want to know the antagonist. They want to know all of the things and the arcs. But I always tell people, if you know how to tell the story, you can pretty much know how to write. Once you write it, I think what happened with me was, and I tell people, you have to find someone that believes in you. You got to find someone that, when you preach to them, you know, and this is what I did. I had a number of good years because I've done a number of commercials. I've probably done over 25 commercials or more. And I made good money. I had a good run. From 2006 or 7 to 2018, man, I was doing it. But 2018 back to 2016, I had a good run, and I had saved money. So I had money saved up, and then I came up with this deal to do the documentary. I wrote the documentary. I wrote it out first as a script, you know, on 4x5 cards. I'm actually looking at them now. I have 150 4x5 cards right in front of me.
Ooh-wee, that's a lot.
And yeah, because, you know, I wrote out each beat, you know what I mean? How it would start, you know, the voiceover for it, everything. Even mentally had, when I wrote, you know what I do sometimes, which is really crazy, but when I write screenplays, I'm going to give you something that they never tell you. But when I write screenplays, or when I wrote this documentary, I was listening to music while I was doing it. But when I would do it, I would listen to certain songs that would give me the feel of what would happen in that particular scene. So mm-hmm. I was almost scoring the documentary as I was writing it and knowing the beat.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So mm-hmm. knowing that feeling of how I'm going to feel at that time. And I would play that kind of music. So I was playing from Rick Ross to Future to, Drake,
yeah.
to even – to music, just all kind of R&B music, just to get the feel. But when you write a screenplay, you have to, you got to come up with, you got to have the gift of gab to say to someone, look, especially if they have money, I have a project. I think you need to look at it. And you have to sit down and you have to sell that project. And that's what I did. But the thing, the most important thing about it is you have to produce it. And what I mean by this, you got to get it made and you got to get that project where people see that their investment was well spent. I have an awesome trailer. I did the film. I flew back to Philadelphia four times in 2018. Also went to New York, went to North Carolina to shoot and produce this documentary. And then I also shot in L.A. So I probably shot the whole year 2018 and part of 2019. And then, you know, it was just really about connections, but you have to sell it. There's no way. There's no one's going to, the studios are not going to come up and say, oh, you have a great script. They're not going to do it. You know what I mean?
Not at
all.
I don't
have an agent. Because I didn't
have
an agent.
I believe that.
I did all of this without an agent. I did all of this without a manager. I produced it all alone.
I was going to ask you. You had no manager, no agent.
No manager, no agent. Now, luckily for me, I did have a name as a stand-up. And people respect me out here because I don't have any, you know, I don't really have any, I guess, like they would say, red tape, any scandals, any people, anybody can point at me and say Dan and Green did them dirty over the years. So when it came down to me needing favors from people, I got some. You know what I mean? So instead of me paying top dollar for a lot of some things, I didn't have to pay top dollar to get it.
That's great.
I had three editors on this project.
That's great.
And one of my editors, the last editor that I would say brought it home, was a young white girl. And I'm only saying white because I'm just making an appointment, a point. A young woman, white girl, 22 years old,
awesome.
From Florida, been editing since she was nine. She brought it home. And let me tell you, right now she is the assistant editor for the Voice. And so I built that relationship. Yeah, she wasn't doing it at the time. She wasn't an assistant editor on the Voice at the time. So when I needed to give somebody a cleanup, I needed some more stuff done recently, called her up, hey, Dan here, same price.
That's
a
good thing.
You
can get
better here.
Wow.
So
wow, that is phenomenal.
You have to build relationships. And people don't really build relationships no more because it's YouTube and all of that. So everybody just says, no, look, this is what I'm doing. But no, at the end of the day, when you really want to get the big thing done, because I got a feature movie done. It's an hour and 35 minutes, credit to credit. Everything is signed off on it. And what you know about that, which is signing off on the music cues, signing off on the footage, signing off on the people in it. I mean, this is not something that you know, this fly by night type of situation. You know what I mean?
I know.
So I would tell you listeners, you have to truly, truly know this is what you want to get done. I put my nose to the pedal. I put my nose to the grind. I put my nose down. I closed my eyes, and I just went for it because this was the whole process. I started this process in 2017 when I thought about doing a documentary. I wrote the documentary November 2017 to December to the 1st of January 2018, and then I started shooting it in 2018.
Wow.
Wow, that is great.
I got a question for you, because
yes,
there was something that I had heard. Danny was also on the Miss Tammy TKO show, and he is really, it was like, I was thinking of the title, what the title was going to be for the show I was coming on tonight, and I want to let you know that certain things that you said hit home with me. And it gave me, like, I was looking for that motivation, and you were that motivation that took me to the finish line. So
well,
I want to thank you.
Well,
now,
yes,
what
like
you said, basically, on her show, it was something that you said, and I would like to have you share that. And that was, you had, like, it's, I believe, Dannon does a blog. He does, I believe it's either a daily, it's a daily or a weekly blog. And on this blog, it was basically giving you ammunition that you need if you're coming, if you want to make it in Hollywood. Can you share some of that?
Yeah, actually, I can. You know what? Why don't I do this? Why don't you ask me another question? Let me answer that question, and then I'm going to set up. I'm going to call it. I'm going to just turn my computer on, and I'll read the steps to you.
Okay, all right. You can read the question.
To,
I got you.
You know, just while
okay.
we have to,
well, let's do this.
And make
get,
sure
while
make
you're getting
sure you
that together.
Information to reach you.
No. You,
that's what I was trying
to
ask.
You can talk to me now. Yeah.
How can people follow you?
Oh, well, you can follow me through I Instagram. I don't tweet just yet. I need to start tweeting. But on Instagram, my Instagram is Dannon, D-A-N-N-O-N, Dannon Green 66. And then my Facebook, Dannon Green. And I would love it for the people to follow me on Instagram. I mean, obviously, that's the new wave. You got to follow people. But, yeah, you know, I feel like I was listening to you guys before I came on, and people really, you know, I've always said this. The reason that most people cannot be successful is because they don't have a game plan. Now, you said something that was very true.
Yes.
You said something that was very true, and you said there are people that come to Hollywood, they come to L.A., and they just have it. Like, there's some people that just, you know, you look at them like, how long was you here? You know what I mean? And they'll be like, oh, I got here 6 months ago. And either they're working in production already, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Working on the set. Like, that baffles me how these kids can come out and get a job on the sets already. Now, a lot of that... Let's just keep it 100. It's nepotism, and it's a string. You know, there's that East Coast pipeline from New York to L.A., you know what I mean? So these kids are coming out and getting connected. But there are a lot of people that come out and just, you have it. You know, they just got that energy, they got that vibe, and they believe. I had it. The reason that it took me longer was because I didn't believe at first. When I first started doing comedy, I kept saying, why would somebody even want to pay to listen to me do comedy? I never said it, even though I was doing it. Even though I saw all the big stars, and it wasn't until I had an incident where I kind of was, you know, I was very good friends, and still good friends with person, but we kind of went our separate ways, me and a friend of mine who was a up-and-coming comic. And I was just like, you know what? If you're going to do this, just do it. And then the next thing, and I'll tell anybody this, I'll tell any of you listeners this, the most important thing in this whole game is do not care what people think about you. And what I mean by that is don't care what people think about you. Don't do nobody dirty, but don't care what they think about you. So if you think that you can sell $1 million worth, you can make $1 million selling eraser heads on the corner, do it. Don't worry about somebody saying, man, ain't nobody using erasers. Don't say you go out there and you feel that you can do it. And you have to believe in yourself. And when you believe in yourself, then that's what it clicked for me.
You have said a lot. You're the sauce of your volume right there, the sauce of your volume.
Yes.
You said a lot. Believe in yourself, and regardless of what you've done, too, you followed your passion, didn't let it follow you.
Well, I would say yes, and then I had to someone say no, because I wanted to be – my goal was not to be a stand-up comic or an actor. I wanted to be a businessman. My degree is in computer animation.
Really?
I'm the first African-American in the country and probably in the world to ever get an undergraduate degree and a master's in the field of computer animation. So after that, my goal was to own my own computer graphics company. I started doing stand-up by a dare, kind of, because people got saying, man, you funny. I was like, man, leave me alone. You know what I mean? And next thing I know, I got involved. So I followed the passion after the fact. But my point being is that, you know, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody's going to believe in you. You might as well go ahead and shoot that one in the butt. You know what I mean? But you really got to, it's really a game plan. And I knew it. And I knew one thing that I knew my strength. Like you said earlier, you know, some people can come to town and they can just, you know, they can just get it. You know what I mean? I knew one of my major game strengths was I had the gift of gab. You know what I mean? And I knew that I just knew it. And I knew,
I said, that's a beautiful gift to have. I'm on your page. I said, that's a beautiful gift to have is the gift of gab. It's a beautiful gift to have. We're almost running out of time. You know, I want to
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would love to have you come back on my show. Because you have a lot of positive energy that you're putting out there. You have
time.
A lot to say, and you have you are just your energy and your vibe is just out there. And at your young age, you're just giving it out. And I would love
to
have
you
come back.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I'm be honest with you. I know you don't have a lot of time, but I have to say this. I had wished that I had someone do that for me. But then there was someone that did do something. Let me put it this way. One time, Michael Williams, who owned the first black comedy club in the country, Comedy Act Theater, and I'll never forget it. Mike, he brought us all in a room one day up in the Comedy Act, and he said, he started the conversation off like this. He said, some of you guys are going to make it, and some of you guys aren't going to make it. And I think when you get that straight to the point, you know what I mean? Then you know it's like, well, yeah, it's like okay, I got one or two things I can do. You know what I mean? So, you know, but yeah, I was trying to find this thing. I did for Tammy, but I know it's one of these files, but I don't, you know, I'm looking for it now. This year, but I gave what I did do for Tammy is I gave her these steps of. You know what I mean? Of what I feel a person should do. You know. And I think I always tell people the number one thing don't do is don't sell your soul. I think the one reason that I have been able to, I'll be honest with you, it takes longer. It takes a lot longer, but the longer it takes, the easier it is, you know, because I don't have any demons. I don't have any. When I look in the mirror at night, I know I did everything the right way to make it. You know what I mean? And whether I get it or not,
you're
that's
a powerhouse. We got 1 minute.
Well, we're gonna have to get out of here. We got like 1 minute left. I wanted to thank you for joining me and Peggy on Women in Motion.
Okay.
And know that you're always welcome. You always have a place and a platform, always.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Please, and this
yes,
I want you
and
all the listeners just to look out. Yeah, just follow me on Dan and Green 66, which is my, yeah. But real quick, just look out for the documentary. It's called The Executioners. We All Had a Chance, and it's about a gym. These two men who started the gym in Philadelphia to save the boys from the streets of Philly and wound up creating one of the top boxing amateur gyms ever. So I appreciate it.
Well,
right.
I will. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining Women in Motion. You have been awesome and phenomenal.
Yes.
Keep doing what you're doing. Keep making it. And you got the right name, too, Green. Everything green.
Yes.
Keep it green.
Yes.
Keep it real. And you have I really do want to have you come back because you were saying some things that I'm really, really in tune to that needs to be heard. Your positive vibration there. So
well, I appreciate
Thank
that.
You,
I appreciate you guys letting me give me the platform. Thank you.
All right.
You're very welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Okay,
Women
brother.
In Motion
Thank
live
you.
On eWater Radio. Until the last Sunday of the month, we'll see you next time.